everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, kicking off what's left of April here, Monday, April 29th, and we'll transition into May. And for our Jewish friends, I hope the Passover season, the festival, has been a meaningful one for you. For our radio program, now we are into our 14th year, coming to you from the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Part of the growing Bustos Media presence in Tucson, we have five radio stations under one roof here. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Also the place for all of our programs. I'd say 99% of what we have done is conveniently archived at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Welcoming back on the show, Fletcher McCusker, who is our Monday one-on-one guest. The one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. What a wonderful family-owned business. These folks just didn't get off the bus yesterday. Started in 1985 here in town, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. The art is Moe, and the great photography that he does. It's shown and available for sale at the showroom. Of course, they do wonderful picture framing. And if you decide, well, Mo did a great job framing the piece, but I don't want to get up on the ladder and put it up. Mo will come out and do it for you. He makes house calls. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Fletcher McCusker is the chairman of the Rio Nuevo District Downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board. It's a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and helps, well, it's held accountable to the state of Arizona and the legislature for use of the funds. In 1999, voters approved the creation of the district that allows TIF funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Fletcher McCusker, credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of Providence Service Corporation, a billion-dollar company which he founded, to downtown Tucson. Fletcher's latest venture, UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, and service and products. Fletcher McCusker, the 2021 Arizona Business Leader of the Year Award, and I'm proud to say he's a good friend. Hey, Fletcher.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, so much going on downtown. We've got a couple of old buildings. Let's start there. Let's begin with the old Pioneer building.
It's about to be auctioned off. You can register to buy it. I think the low bid I saw was $1.2 million. So people will remember that was the Pioneer Hotel, destroyed by an arson fire, converted to an office building. And it's about 50% occupied. So it's going to be interesting to see who acquires it and for what purpose.
What are some of the possibilities that you see for that building?
There's not a lot of office demand right now. We've seen that change dramatically post-COVID. There is a lot of interest in downtown residential. We've seen a lot of apartments come up. There are more coming on the west side particularly. So it wouldn't surprise me that someone buys it to convert it to residential.
It does not have a historical designation because they've done so many renovations over the years?
Yeah, there's about six layers of facade on that now, so it's no longer considered historic.
So 100,000 square feet in size, that does bring up a lot of possibilities. Well, possibly apartment living then?
Yeah, it's the Chase Bank.
Yeah,
the section above Chase is going to be all residential. So we're seeing, you know, what might have otherwise been office use converting to apartments, market rate apartments.
Does that seem kind of low, that bid, the opening bid?
I'm sure it's opening bid.
I mean, what seems like it, I mean, over just over a million, that's just to get probably attract interest, right?
Yeah, I think it'll go in the 10 million range.
Yeah,
we'll see. Maybe nobody bids on it.
How about the former Valley National Bank building, 2 East Congress? That lobby is fantastic, going back to 1929.
Yeah, that was the original Valley National Bank, Art Deco Bank, back when they had these beautiful interiors, marble pillars. The good news is that the bank, the aesthetics of the bank are going to stay unchanged. It will be converted to food and beverage with our friend and partner Danny Scordato. Mm-hmm. So he's coming to that bank to create a restaurant, event center, a wedding venue, and other things without touching the interior. So there's enough room there to build a kitchen and to have some outdoor seating and a mezzanine level above that. And then above that, it'll all be converted to apartments.
So it's a $12 million project, and it gets a boost from your team at the Rio Nuevo board pledging up to $1.4 million to get it up and running. For folks that don't know, is that kind of part of the board's role to as sort of seed money to get stuff off the ground?
That's exactly the way we see it. We've now attracted over $1.2 billion of private investment, and we've only contributed about $110 million of that. So what we have found, this is my 12th year now, is by providing some level of gap financing, we can help the developer attract a commercial bank. And that's really the formula that's working. Us putting up some money, either cash or tax rebates, the developer putting up some money and then attracting a lender. Mm-hmm. And that's really what spearheaded most of the development downtown.
Are there some buildings there that look like they could be prime to fall in line with what Edford Valley and the Pioneer? I mean, what's lining up next? Or is the inventory really diminishing at this point, Fletcher McCusker?
The Wells Fargo right down the street is for sale. Wells Fargo closed that branch just a few weeks ago, and that's a huge space as well with a 250-space parking garage. So someone's going to acquire that. That's not being auctioned. That's been listed. The vacant lot across from the TEP property, we've awarded that to a hotel operator out of Eugene, Oregon, called OBIE Hotels. There's one parcel as you leave downtown, as you look to the right if you're exiting, that's vacant. Short of that, we're going to be built out here pretty soon.
Really? Built out?
Yes, in the downtown space, the old Access 12 building. That's now apartments and two restaurants. That's been vacant for a while. There really is no vacant space. It's all been reactivated. There is a couple of inner city parcels that right now are surface parking. Mm-hmm. And those will probably go vertical.
Okay, so that's downtown, the downtown core. What about your footprint? Can it go east?
Goes east all the way to Park Place Mall, and we're doing some 60 activations between Country Club and Euclid.
Is that the
Sunshine Mile? It's okay. Actually 2 miles, but they call that the Sunshine Mile.
Uh-huh.
We're looking at doing some work at Park Place to enable apartments in the underutilized parking around the mall.
Mm-hmm.
That's become very popular. Don Bourne's doing a project like that at the Foothills Mall. So I think you'll see that at our two malls, both Elkhorn and Park Place, some development in the parking lots that are dramatically underused.
We haven't talked about the downtown Tucson Convention Center, and of course a great tenant has been what would be the equivalent in baseball to a AAA franchise, and that would be the Roadrunners. But now the Roadrunners' major team that they report to, the Coyotes, are going to be moving to Salt Lake City. What are you hearing about whether the Coyotes will play maybe next year at TCC some of their games, and then up at Mullen Arena, up at ASU some games?
It's very fluid. We have met with the team, encouraged them to stay. The Roadrunners have averaged over 5,000 fans a game. They were sold out for the playoffs. So we think it'd be a shame to move the Roadrunners just because the Coyotes got relocated. There are entities that have to approve that before anything happens. One would be the league, The American Hockey League would have to approve that. The other, of course, would be the Board of Regents. That's ASU's arena, so mm-hmm. they would have to approve that. And we've offered the team to continue to work with them if they want to stay. So it's clearly not our decision, although we think it makes sense for them to stay right where they are. And we've invested $100 million, Bill, into that venue, 10 of it into hockey.
You've invested $100 million into the TCC?
Yeah, everything there is new or remodeled. So the convention center itself, the two garages, the Leo Rich Theater, the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall, the plazas, mm-hmm. all that's added up to about $100 million.
But it's still cheaper than if it had been a teardown, wouldn't have that
oh,
be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The low bids, when the old Rio Nuevo board looked at that, were $160 million.
Was that the turtle-shaped one that they were looking
Your
at?
Your memory's really good. Yeah, yeah, it was called the Tortoise Shell Arena.
And to be located on some land a little closer to the freeway, as I recall.
Yeah, right on the corner of Congress.
Is that freeway. Land still vacant?
That's been sold to, guess what?
What?
Apartment builders.
Really? So yeah. There is this shortage of apartments downtown.
Yeah, urban dwellers want to live downtown.
All right. Well, it's time to take a break here. It is our Monday one-on-one with Fletcher McCusker. So good to see that Mona's Danish Bakery, Fletcher, was named, according to Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, which I looked at over the weekend, Mona's was the favorite bakery of Tucsonans. So,
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, I mean, I usually am up there every weekend. Steve and the team, I'm always telling Steve, is it time for expansion? Maybe Mona's needs to locate, talk to Fletcher McCusker, maybe get something going downtown.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it would be. So maybe you can hook up with Steve at some point. Steve and the team are located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I know every weekend it's, I don't want to discourage people, but it's jam-packed. People are waiting in line actually at 6:30 in the morning when they open. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. And our Monday one-on-one with Fletcher McCusker, presented by our friends Mona's Gallery and Fine Framing. Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, MoesGallery.com. And there's also a new, very popular place over there at Copenhagen, that little center. Monsoon Chocolate has now opened up. So Moe's in a great location. We'll be right back with Fletcher McCusker. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Their website is moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one guest, Fletcher McCusker, of the chair of the Rio Nuevo District Downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board, and things are really booming downtown. You were talking, Fletcher, about people wanting to move downtown. Who are these people?
Half of them are you and me. We've been surprised with
us older folks.
People who love having a pied-à-terre where they can walk. And we've got 80 restaurants now in walking distance, the symphony, the ballet. The other half are millennials who work for Raytheon or someplace, and they Uber around.
Let's talk a little bit about, you are on the nearly two dozen of you that have been named to be on the board, a committee, it's not really a board, I guess, a committee in the search for a new University of Arizona president. Dr. Robbins has said he plans to step aside as soon as his contract is fulfilled at the end of 2025, or before he would step aside before if there was a new president named at that time. So you're on this search committee. What are some of the things you look for in a new president, and who is even available? There's a ton of openings around the country, vacancies for presidents.
We're just 2 weeks into it. I'm surprised how public it is.
Yeah.
It is televised.
Mm-hmm.
It is rebroadcast on YouTube, so there's no secrets about the process. The first couple of meetings have been exactly as you suggested, asking all of us what values we would like to see in an incoming president. And then they just announced the last meeting that we've hired a search firm. Same search firm, Bill, that assisted in the provost search to assist in the presidential search. So that will start moving pretty quickly. We have a number of listening sessions scheduled. It's all quite public and quite transparent. At some point, I expect we'll start seeing resumes.
Mm-hmm. And who's available generally across the country? There's a lot of competition is a better way to put that, right?
You would hope in this kind of process that you find someone who's not necessarily looking for a job.
Uh-huh.
You know, that you can identify someone in another university level that's attracted to Tucson, that maybe they're at a smaller university or maybe they want to change climates. So the search committee reaches out. They do advertise, and they'll reach out to sitting presidents and others to mm-hmm. see if they would be interested in applying for the job.
Was that necessary to spend these search committees? It is a lot of money, but that's something that you feel is fundamental. You've got to have kind of a national search committee.
Yeah, academic searches, they don't work without a search committee, a search firm.
I mean, it couldn't just be like your committee contacting these people. Yeah. You've got to have it done that through these proper channels.
Yeah, and it's quite confidential, as you can imagine.
Oh,
so if you're a sitting president, you don't want your current Board of Regents
to know
that you've applied for another job.
Yes.
So the confidentiality of that process, I understand, is highly protected.
All right. You're very much involved with the UA Ventures, this venture capital fund. How is that going?
We just launched our fourth fund. I think that's probably the reason I'm on the search committee. 5 years ago, we helped the university determine if our research was commercializable. Historically, it has belonged to the state. So we now can work with an inventor, create a company, and take their products to market. And we've done that successfully now 13 times. And we've just launched our fourth fund to continue to help the university raise their revenue through the commercialization of technology.
In the past on the show, you've talked about one of the projects, and this one I was very, very interested in, an alternative to a painkiller that would be an alternative to an opioid. I mean, if this were to come true, it would be just a godsend. What's going on with that?
So that company is called Regulonix.
Regulonix.
You can look at our website or look at their website.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that requires FDA approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very long and expensive process. So the drug's been efficacious in rats. That's the news.
Mm.
And of course,
but that doesn't always translate.
It has to be tested in humans. So that's the next step. First, they do a study in large animals, sheep or dogs, preferably. If that's successful, they're looking for toxicity and efficacy. If that's successful, then they move on to human trials.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, in the next 8 to 10 years, that drug will get to the market.
I want to ask you about when there are major national stories that impact Arizona, and I can think of two right offhand. A couple of months ago, the New York Times saying Arizona had run out of water. You are well aware of that front page piece. And they were talking about a particular subdivision in Maricopa County, but it generalized about the state of Arizona. The other big story, of course, would be the judges reaffirming by a 4-2 vote Arizona's 1864 abortion law, which the House has now repealed, and the Senate will presumably get to it on Wednesday. Do national stories like that impact our future?
I'm sure it gives people pause. We have never been busier with inbound interest.
Okay.
And I think Sun Corridor will tell you the same thing. What's going on in Phoenix regarding semiconductor, the billions of dollars is trickling into our region.
Well, Susan DeMond of Sun Corridor was on our show just Thursday echoing what you're saying.
Yeah.
that they've never had so much interest.
No, and it's in spite of whatever, our politics, our position on abortion, our availability of water. Now, Tucson's blessed in that we bank our water. So we have a 100-year supply of water in our aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
We actually reduced our share of the Colorado River water.
Mm-hmm.
So Tucson is hot, and we're hot at every level. Californians moving to Tucson, people, companies moving to Tucson. We had a company from Switzerland move here via Zoom. They never set foot in Tucson. They found a property, they acquired it, they moved their people out here. Based on our reputation now, that's become very pro-business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
If you look around the market, any other market, Denver, Salt Lake, anything in California, Tucson's probably much more affordable than any of those. So we're residing on a boomtown. Rio Nuevo revenue is the highest it's ever been. Now, we're sales tax based.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we're generating more sales tax today than we have in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And I was interviewing Jesse Bloom from PICOR, and he shared with our listeners these huge warehouses that have been built out by the airport and up in Marana area on the northwest side. I didn't know that they were built on spec.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I forget what city, or I think Jesse told me it was a Midwestern guy who has done all this investment in these huge warehouses,
yeah.
But there's no client or tenant yet.
The first spec warehouse we built was leased pretty quickly, and that encouraged others to do something spec. You have to remember, we're a port. The port of Tucson has 2 million square feet of space with direct connectivity now to the port at Guaymas. We can compete with Long Beach for inbound shipping business. The rail system needs to be improved, but and then you connect to I-10, and then you can connect anywhere east or west. So the logistics industry is really looking at Tucson as a base, and you've seen it with Amazon and Home2Goods and Target. A lot of those warehouses are distribution centers.
Mm-hmm.
We think a lot of them will become data centers. The biggest issue with the data center is going to be water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and electricity too, right?
Well, power. Susan Gray will tell you they can power anything.
They can do it. Yeah,
but water will be interesting.
Always a pleasure, Fletcher. We'll bring you in, of course, in the near future. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Fletcher McCusker, our Monday one-on-one guest, presented by One-on-Ones, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen and Monsoon Chocolate. Their website is moesgallery.com. Coming up next, Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines joins me right after this.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody had a really delightful weekend weather-wise. Other than the wind, but you know, the downside is the dust and everything, but the upside is it cools things down. So we'll take it, right, as we transition into May. Certainly everybody over at Green Things is loving this weather. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. They have everything you possibly could imagine for in terms of plants and plant accessories for the garden and wonderful items at Zocalo Village. The pottery there is just outstanding from really all over the world. The website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're open every day. They're in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, which we are going to do here momentarily, that live line, our live line, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now back to the program Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District on the 5-member board. Dr. Hines is also a hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center. Dr. Hines, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Before we talk about county business, I keep seeing on Facebook that people are reporting they're still getting the flu. I mean, are things calming down a bit or still got some flu out there?
You are absolutely on target. I literally, I think 3 or 4 days ago, admitted a patient who was suffering from an asthma exacerbation that was provoked because we tested a viral panel, was provoked by influenza A infection. So it is still there. And I have seen cases of influenza A and B in June. You know, it's certainly not the highest, that's not what you see the most in June, but it can happen. It absolutely does.
Yeah, and all the dust is not good either. I'm sure you're seeing people who are having allergic reactions to the dust with the wind blowing that. Yeah, so there's stuff going on, right? I mean, you're still pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. It's actually going, we're seeing more patients than we were a couple months ago. I mean, I've been kind of surprised because typically once we get into some of the warmer, the warmer months, we see some of our winter visitors wander away or run away. And, we are seeing, at least in terms of my overnight shifts, I'm seeing more patients now than I was a couple months ago.
Wow. Keeping with the medical theme here, Pima County is set to receive nearly $50 million in nationwide legal settlement. A settlement with pharmaceutical companies, Dr. Hines, to help cover the cost of the opioid epidemic. Do we know where those funds are going to go, or where are they being earmarked for?
Not quite, but there is a process that is unfolding. Of course, the city of Tucson is getting a considerable amount as well, and so the plan is to work kind of jointly together on this so that the city and the county can pool funds, hopefully, and best direct them to public good.
Well, the opioid crisis is still very much with us, and fentanyl. So anything we can do, right, to educate folks?
Absolutely. It is overdoses of narcotics, often fentanyls. Fentanyl-based, those are coming into our emergency departments across the county, across the state, the nation, more and more every day. The number of deaths we see, largely due to fentanyl, though other narcotics are also possible, continues to go up. And so, yes, for sure, anything and everything we can do to educate folks, to make sure that everybody who wants one can get an access to naloxone or you know, the basically antidote to narcotic overdose. That's not just law enforcement, even beyond that. All of these things are incredibly important uses for these kinds of funds.
And then we have the 1864 abortion law affirmed by the Arizona Supreme Court by a vote of 4-2. Pima County supervisors, this came before you and the board, and what was the decision?
The board voted 4-1 to condemn this, and really in no uncertain terms make it clear that the Pima County government is absolutely not in favor of this, and we frankly don't understand what in the world the Supreme Court was doing here. And by the way, this originated in Pima County. One of our Superior Court judges, Kelly Johnson, who is up for retention or not, if people decide not to retain her, it's important. This zombie law came about because of her. Because of her court, it was resurrected. And that's why this even got to the Supreme Court in the first place. And also two of the four justices on our Supreme Court, packed by Governor Ducey. By the way, our Supreme Court, as you know, used to be five members. There was no reason to make it seven other than Governor Ducey wanted to have more conservatives on the court. And this is the kind of thing that those conservatives are now doing at his behest. So, we have a situation here. We can fix it. We don't have to retain two of those justices as well.
Dr. Matt Hines is with us, Supervisor District Number 2. The problems at the Pima County Jail, Dr. Hines, aren't going away, and you and your colleagues are deciding what the next step should be and to try to find some kind of a fix. Like to hear what you're thinking about that right now.
It does seem, based on what the last commission brought forward in terms of the numbers, it does not make any financial sense. It just doesn't seem really possible to approach a whole new jail at this point. And so, as you know, Jan Lesher has recommended that we impanel an additional commission to look at, let's figure out exactly who should be in the jail and maybe who shouldn't really be in the jail. And that is to say, we do have a lot of two-thirds of our jail population, nonviolent offenders. Do all of them really need to be held? I don't think so. I think we can make sure to take the proper steps for public safety and also just reasonableness and just being sensible about it. You know, not every single person, especially the nonviolent offenders, need to be held in a jail setting. These people will, with the proper guidance and reminders, certainly be able to show up for their court appointments, and they don't need to be held for weeks and weeks and months on end, just in case they, you know, the judge might be worried that they aren't going to show up. This is especially true for those who have never done anything violent in the first place. It's an important reminder to your listeners that the vast majority, 90%+ of people in our jail, they haven't been convicted of anything, right? Or at least not of the particular charge that might be alleged. So we have to think about how we're using the jail, who's in it, who should be and who shouldn't be. And so bringing together a panel, not just to look at, do we build a new jail? How big is it going to be? Where is it going to be? All that. Like, before we build more jails or even refurbish the current one, which we will have to do because there is some significant expenses in terms of deferred maintenance, we really need to get a handle on what is the most appropriate population to be putting in the jail that is going to be consistent with public safety and also that takes into account just the reality of our budget.
And the Sheriff Nanos, does insist the jail's beyond repair. And, of course, he thinks a new one should be built. But at this point, you believe that it's best, let's figure out who are the people that are even being incarcerated. Does that make sense to you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing with the sheriff on that. I took a tour with him and my team, and I did see some significant areas of disrepair and deferred maintenance. And part of the job, as you know, we the board of supervisors, fund the jail. Of course, the sheriff directly supervises and runs the jail. But all of us, you know, we can't be putting people in unsafe situations. Part of our job, if somebody is being jailed, is to make sure that they're being held in a safe place, that they have access to, you know, proper environment, you know, that is air conditioned in the summer, that they have access to blood pressure medication or insulin if they have a particular, you know, particular disease that they need to have managed, that they get that kind of care, especially behavioral health medications and mental health services. So we have an obligation to those we put there. So yeah, we have to take all of that into account, of course. But if we're planning, sitting down, you and I and whoever else sitting down planning a new jail structure, well, is it for 3,000, 4,000, or 2,000? Or maybe it's only for 1,100. If we don't know some of that basic information, then we're not going to get to a very sensible answer for the community. We need to figure out where things are at in terms of the number of people that truly we need to truly be jailing for public safety reasons, and those who aren't a significant threat to public safety, there are many other ways to monitor them. We can remind them. We can have people kind of help them to get, you know, to follow through and get into court. Or we can have ankle monitoring. We can do a lot of different things that will be very, very consistent with public safety for our community, but also that won't break the bank.
All right. Late last week, County Administrator Jan Lesher sent out a memo about the tax rate and the budget. And I want to get into that with you, Dr. Hines, after we take a break, and then we'll be back with Dr. Matt Hines on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. It's not a bad drive at all. About 3 hours east of Tucson, approximately, and there's a lot to do over there, especially this time of year. So many great outdoor activities. And as we transition into May, we start thinking about, man, it's really going to get hot here in Tucson. Well, Silver City has kind of that ideal summertime temperature, usually 10 to 15 degrees cooler than Tucson. And you're wondering, well, how can you guarantee that, Bill? Well, the elevation. If Tucson was at 5 to 7,000 feet, it would be cooler here in Tucson. Well, that's the way it is over in Silver City at about same elevation as Denver. So a lot to having to do with that elevation making things cooler. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org, so you could start your planning for your trip over to Silver City and Grant County. I'm sure you will have a wonderful time. Dr. Matt Hines is with us, Pima County Supervisor. And I want to talk with Dr. Hines, who is on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, about the budget. County property taxpayers won't see much of a change in their tax bill next year if you and your colleagues adopt County Administrator Jan Lesher's recommended fiscal year 2025 budget. Some of your thoughts, Dr. Hines.
So, I appreciate all of the hard work that Jan Lesher and her staff have done here. I'm concerned, though, because we, the board, did not follow our own policy with regard to state cost shifts a couple cycles ago. We just kind of absorbed 5.6 cents that should have been per board policy passed on to county taxpayers because of, again, cost shifts from the state legislature making, in my opinion, bad decisions, shifting those expenses onto cities, towns, and counties. We, the board, have had for a number of years a policy, this was under, I believe this is a Chuck Huckleberry's recommendation, that when that kind of situation happens, when the state legislature does stupid stuff that causes a financial impact to the counties, it is not appropriate to reduce services. We're already in the lower third. If you compare Pima County to other counties of similar sizes and character, we're in the lower third in terms of property taxes. So we're not exactly over-assessed here. When we don't keep up with those kinds of cost shifts from the state, we put ourselves at risk of, well, budget problems and at risk of having to reduce services, even though we aren't really a particularly over-assessed county. So, you know, it is my position that we should be seriously considering looking at a very slight uptick in that rate because we I believe, made a mistake a couple cycles ago by not following through with our own policy and implementing that when it should have been. That would have brought in an extra $14, $15 million over three cycles. And, you know, here we are. So things look okay right now, but, you know, there's still a recommendation of a 2% across the board budget cut for all of basically all across all departments and agencies. And again, I don't know that it doesn't seem like that would have been necessary, at least not completely, if we had done what I believe we should have a couple of years back. So and look, over the past 15 years, Pima County has reduced the primary property tax rate, except for once. I think once in 15 years it ticked up just slightly. And the numbers we're talking, it's $2.23 per average homeowner per year per 1 cent of an increase. So 5.6 cents of an increase, we're talking $12, $13 over a year. So it is a de minimis, very minimally impactful assessment to folks to make sure that we can maintain the services where they need to be maintained. So, and I'm also worried that based on the very large more than $1 billion deficit that we have thanks to the flat tax that Doug Ducey and the Republican legislature rammed down everyone's throats that not many people were asking for, we are going to have this imbalance. We now have a worsening structural imbalance at the state level. And yes, that's not directly the county, but you see what they do. They have to necessarily find some ways to get out of that budget deficit because of their gross mismanagement and the impact on revenues that they had with a flat tax there. They come to the towns and the cities and the counties and try to reduce state shared revenues and other things. So that was very long with lots of numbers, but I'm concerned that, we're going to see maybe not this cycle, but the next, we're going to see a pretty significant impact from those cost shifts from the state. And we need to prepare the taxpayers to potentially bear the brunt of that so that we don't reduce services.
Jan Lesher submitted her recommended, it's a $1.7 billion budget to the board, and she's right. Suggesting that the board keep the combined county property tax rate the same as the current fiscal year, and that is $5,104 per $100 of a... Wait a minute. What am I doing wrong here? $5 basically per $100 of assessed value. I think that's where we're going with that.
That's right. And just to remind your
too many numbers.
It was 5.7.
Okay.
It was 12. It used to be 5.7. So we have been, every year I've been on the board, we've reduced it actually. So this will be the first time we've kept it the same. So I definitely agree with keeping it the same, but I want to make sure that people understand that we might have to pick it up a little bit, if not this year, then maybe next, to compensate for what the state legislature is doing and throwing those additional expenses that they can't afford onto us.
Yeah, they're back to the allocating of the state cost shifts. Those are back with us now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And look, we have incorporated some of the state cost shifts over the recent three cycles. We have incorporated, I would say, even the majority of those, but about 5.6 cents, we kind of just ate it, right? We did not actually incorporate that. And at the time, in part because of ARPA dollars, COVID dollars, we were very, very flush and things were looking pretty good. But those funds are either encumbered or spent or going to go away in the next year to year and a half. And, we have to, the only lever we have as supervisors is property taxes. We don't get to, and that's, we could vote if 5-0, it would take a unanimous vote of the board, which at this moment I don't anticipate, we could assess a sales tax. That is true. But realistically, in terms of just a simple majority, the only levers that we can pull or tweak in any way is that the property tax rates.
You would just need a simple majority to if you wanted to increase what Jan Lesher has recommended, or does that require a full contingent of the board?
Simple majority.
Simple majority. So is that something you will be putting forward, talking about?
So we are going to be doing a study session. It's actually, I think, the first study session that has occurred in my tenure, which has only been 3+ years. But we're going to be having on May 7th, after our regular board meeting in the morning, we will be having convening a study session just to do a deep dive on all things budget, tax rate, all that kind of stuff. Before we set the maximum, what we do in the second meeting in May is we don't set those tax rates, but we set the highest level we can possibly make it later on in August. Mm-hmm. So my argument's going to be, let's set it for potentially a little bit higher than what Jan is recommending. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If we don't have to do that, great. But let's not
lowball
ourselves here.
Okay, Dr. Matt Hines, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor. And that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Monday edition, off and running on the final couple of days. of April as we transition into the merry month of May. On behalf of John on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill. We wish everyone well.